Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need, when you need them, at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Greetings, travelers!
Hello, travelers. Oh, wait. Greetings, travelers.
Carrie, it's first greetings. It starts with
one jaw. Hello, travelers. As you can see, you have the Charlie's Angels of the Erie Travels team today because Mark is still not feeling great. And you'll hear from all three of us. We're still in recovery, but we're better off than he is right now. So Mark sent his amazing wife and our illustrator, Carrie, as tribute to this. So we are going to bring you the amazing listener tales you guys have shared. So we're going to be really nice to Carrie since it's her first time being offered up as tribute. And she didn't volunteer. Her name was drawn, but there's only one female in the house. So she was a little screwed.
I was the only name in the hat.
We could have had Claudius do it.
Claudius, the great lizard. So I'm super excited. We are so glad you're here with us. And I think the best thing is to just jump in. So I'm going to jump in. So here we go. In no particular order. And guess what? Mark's not here. So none of these have been previously read by any of us. So we'll see what happens. Greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
Okay. A little over a year ago, I had a very random dream, which stuck with me. Shortly before awakening one afternoon, I worked the graveyard shift. I dreamt I had just woken up. And as I often do, I grabbed my phone from the nightstand to check my notifications. In the dream, I was scrolling through my feed when I began to see the news of comedian Paul Rubens had passed away, which shocked me and filled me with deep sadness. I'm not sure where this is going, but anyway. I soon woke up for real this time and had to check my phone to see if it was truly just a dream. After doing a bit of clickety-clacking, I like that call out, I was relieved to find Paul Rubens was still alive and while there was no signs of him being in ill health. Took comfort in the fact that it was just a weird dream and a few days of lingering sad feeling passed. I really have no idea what I would dream something like this. So imagine my shock when a month later I woke one afternoon and checked my feed to see the news Paul Rubin had passed away. Don't like that already. Okay. It was just like my dream. As many now know, he chose not to go public with his cancer and few even knew that he was ill. I certainly had no way of knowing. I have no connection to him other than also being from the Tampa Bay area. I'd say I'm a pretty average fan for an 80s kid. I've never even owned a Pee Wee Herman doll. How dare you? Anyway, while I was an enthusiast for a paranormal, I've never had precognitive dream like this before, nor have I ever had a truly significant experience to think of. I've come to believe that I'm probably not very sensitive to such things. At the time of writing this, it's been 1 year since Paul Rubin's passing, and I'm still left wondering, what the heck was the universe trying to tell me by giving me this precognitive dream, Daryl? Well, hello, Daryl. So I'm going to break something that's kind of breaking news, but really sad. I don't know if you guys know this. James Earl Jones passed today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vader. We lost Vader.
Awesome.
It makes me incredibly sad. Also Field of Dreams, love him and everything he does, Big Bang Theory. But what I would say is maybe, Daryl, maybe you were able to touch into something. I'm not sure why you got Paul Rubens. Maybe it was meant for somebody else and just directed at you, or you did a little dimension shifting, my friend, and was in a world where that had already happened. That's all I can guess, because if you normally don't have these kind of premonitions, it's kind of weird to suddenly have one. So I don't know the answer. Bo, Carrie, do you have anything else?
I mean, as he said, he was a kid of the 80s. And I feel like as a kid of the late 80s myself, as I'm getting older, more people are dying that I have like grown up with. And I think like your brain will pull out random people. So I've had weird dreams about beloved childhood actors dying. So that could be what it is.
Yes.
I would be really upset if I had a dream about Mufasa dying.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Carrie? Any other thoughts?
My dreams tend to be a lot more abstract or weird. So I haven't ever had anything that's really pertained to real life other than one, but I'll tell that at another time.
Oh, we're going to have to pull that from Miss Carrie there, but okay. Daryl, sorry, I don't have a really good answer for you. Those are my guesses. X will be mad at me. Moving on. Carrie, why don't you take it away with the next one since you've been volunteered as tribute?
All right. When I was a kid, I used to see translucent colored geometric 3D shapes out of the corner of my eye. When I turned to look at them, they'd disappear. On one occasion, one went through or into a wall. I didn't see if it came out the other side. It was shaped like a gas water heater, a tall rectangular shape with a pointed top. On one occasion at a school camp, I saw a flat cylinder like a wheel in a rough shape rolling along about a foot off the ground. You could see right through it. It was green or blue. To this day, I have no idea if it was some kind of phenomena or just a hallucination brought on by what, I don't know. I was barely 8 the first time and 12 the last time I saw these things. But I definitely saw something, and it wasn't just an overactive imagination. Max. Wow. Like, geometric is really unusual. Yeah, wow.
I have a theory, as many of you travelers have heard, that kids can sometimes, I feel like I'm a firm believer in reincarnation. I'm going to premise with that, right? So I believe in reincarnation. I'm not sure how it works, but I believe in that. I'm kind of wondering if whatever switches were supposed to be flipped for you did not get flipped until you were older, because it sounds like you were seeing maybe the Matrix going past us. We've had so many other travelers that have gone through situations where it looks like the world didn't reset to the correct thing, and it was just like the loading screens. I'm wondering if you were seeing a loading screen, huh?
What do it you makes me wonder, were they like corporeal in any way? Like, could he have reached out and touched them?
I don't know, like, but I don't know that just would be a good plan. Like, that's our automatic plan, but I don't know.
That would be my plan. I want to touch it.
I don't know. I'd touch it. It sounds like if it's like one of those, it's only to the side, but if you're turning, like if you're trying to touch it, you'd probably want to focus on it and it would be gone, because it's only in the peripheral vision.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Max, I think that's a badass power to have. I'm sorry you don't have it anymore, but that would be my guess, is that you could see things because you weren't told you couldn't see them. So
geometry powers.
Yes, I love that. I love it.
I guess maybe we just stop perceiving things that tend to be a distraction to living our lives for the most part.
That could be. That makes sense. But adulting is freaking hard. That's what I'm gonna say. Bo, are you up for one? Are you good? Or
well, I want to read it because it's about Mothman. So we'll see how it goes.
Heck yeah!
I've just watched the Unsolved Mysteries episode on the Mothman. Myself and my twin sister Laura were in our bedroom one evening playing, and I remember the moon being extremely bright. We were back and forth looking out our bedroom window, looking at the moon. And then when we went to look out again, we saw these bright red eyes looking straight at myself and my sister. We screamed and felt scared and closed the curtains. We ran downstairs and told our mom, and she came upstairs to look for herself. And unfortunately, it was gone. Our mom didn't believe us and thought it was our imagination. All I know is that my sister and I were in primary school from a young age, and now, age 36, we still remember what we both saw. We lived in the countryside in Little Brixton, Essex in the UK at that time. This gives me comfort knowing we aren't alone and others have seen it. From Lucy.
Ooh. Oh, Lucy. Hey, shout out over the pond, Lucy. Yay.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't know Mothman was hanging out over there.
Here's the thing.
International traveler.
Yeah, I was going to say, to think whatever this is a lone, solitary creature, I think is where we get in making mistakes, right? Because much like Bigfoot, and that's what the people who originally saw it, but now new people are seeing something that's slightly different. And I don't know if it's not something masquerading, because the Fae are an interesting bunch. So they could have gone, you know what's really scaring the crap out of humans? This form, let's do it. So who knows what the hell? Red eyes, that could have been a million things. But I think that it's being attributed to Mothman. And it could have been whatever creature Mothman actually is, other than Mothman, like whatever genetic line.
We keep seeing Mothman sightings all over the place. It's because people don't have context for any other thing. They're just like, oh, it's big and has red eyes. Clearly it's Mothman, because they don't know about any of these other creatures that are also big and have red eyes. Or maybe they don't have red eyes at all. They're just like making the leap.
Yeah. And I get why they do. It makes sense. But Lucy, you are not alone. You are not wrong. And you are not crazy. So give a big shout out across the pond. We love our international travelers. So very cool. And now I
including
know
Mothman.
When I'm there again. Okay, good.
Didn't we have a listener story a little while back about red eyes from a second story window?
Or am I yeah, we did. We did. Yes.
Definitely not alone here.
No, no. Terrifying. Terrifying. Okay. But now I creep myself out again. Okay, moving on. Thank you, listener tales, as they start. Here we go. Hey, travelers.
Well, hello.
Hey.
I just need somewhere to vent about a very specific thing that most people won't understand. Okay, well, here we are. Vent away. Almost 4 years ago, I left my first husband because he was abusive and got my own place. Well, well done to you.
Yeah.
We split custody of our kids 50-50. Well, since I was 18 when I met him, the 50% of the time my kids were gone was the first time in my life I'd lived alone. Aww. I loved my place and quickly realized that there was an entity in the apartment with me who I dubbed George. Oh my gosh, I love that so much. I think I love that. Wait, I'm okay, let me see. I might change my mind. At first, it seemed to be really enjoying startling me, the kids and my mom. Things moving, doors opening and closing, doors locking and unlocking, catching, quote unquote, something out of the corner of your eye. Took me a little bit of time because it became less startling and more comforting. I grew to rely on the fact that George was always there and I wasn't completely alone. George stopped startling my kids and mom when she would visit. I still talk to George regularly, and it still does small things to remind me it's here, especially when I'm stressed out or sad. It's been a big comfort for me, even though I'm remarried with another little one, so I'm not alone. Well, my ex has spent the entirety of the last year doing his level best to ruin my life, and things boiled to the point where my husband lost his job because of it. My last pregnancy completely disabled me, and our one-year-old is also disabled.
Oh.
And now we have 2 weeks to move because we can no longer afford to live here. I'm heartbroken at losing the first home that was really mine and leaving George. I don't know if there's a way to invite it to come with us, especially since we don't have anywhere to go right now. Nobody I know will understand why I'm so upset at the thought of leaving my quote unquote haunted apartment. Sunshine. Well, Sunshine, first of all, we are sending many, many positive vibes to you because you need him in the universe. Second, just ask George to go with you. If he's there and he's sentient in whatever sentientness.
He should get to go with and make that decision. He's probably not attached to the house.
He can pick something to be attached to. Yeah. Maybe you should give him options.
Maybe you can find something you know you're going to have with you and is important, and ask, say, if he needs to attach to something, you can give him something to attach to in the interim.
Yeah, not you. I know it's
not you.
Not you. Make not it a physical object. Pretty yes. please with sugar on top. Because I can hear Serenity Jenny in my ears right
She's
now.
Screaming. I can hear her.
Yes, I can hear her now going, please don't let her attach. But I agree. I think Carrie came up with a really good idea. Find something and maybe give a couple of options. A couple of things that are absolutely mm-hmm. traveling with you, keepsakes. And it's not the size of the item. I'm sorry, gentlemen out there. It's not the size of the item in this case. It is that it's something that you will be able to keep with you. So, yes, that's what I think we recommend. So you can take your friend with you. And I think you'll know if he's coming or not, right?
I think so. I feel like I'm remiss if I don't mention the George entity character from one of our favorite TV shows. Are you guys far enough for that?
Not
which I'm sure there's no relation.
Oh no, I am far enough. It's the show Evil. If you have not watched the show Evil.
We love George.
Yeah. We love George and we are huge fans of the show Evil. So shout excuse me, forgive me, last season that it's gonna be out, but we love it and it's brilliant. So yes, thank you, Sunshine. We wish you tons of luck. Please write us back and let us know when you guys land because we hope and send positive vibes that you land in a good place. Mm-hmm. So, okay, Carrie, how about you do the next one?
Alrighty. Oh, wow. I'm beyond right now and I think I just experienced a timeline shift. See these headphones? I lost the right earbud almost 2 years ago at my last job. While I was working an overnight shift, I spent months looking through that department anytime I could get it in and I could just never find it. So I've been rocking one earbud since then. I just sat down at my seat and went to put in my earbud and both were on the holder. Does Dolly have braces again in this universe? From Thomas. Oh my goodness.
Oh, Mark would say Dolly has always had braces.
So, Thomas, I'm just going to say that obviously something needed that earbud this entire time and was done and decided to bring it back or whatever.
They were done with their podcast they were listening to. They were like, you know what? I'm finished. Here you go.
Here you go. But Carrie, I guess when you get a chance to ask Mark, you're going to have him watch Moonraker and see if the braces are back or not to answer that question.
Wow.
Because I'll watch Risky Business to see if those sunglasses are back in that scene.
I love it was back in the holder. Like, that's so hard.
Like, it's been there the whole time.
You know if it's missing. And that, that's so crazy. I guess the Fae have had their fun. I don't know.
Yeah, the Fae were like, I'm done with this. You may have it back. Thank you. Oh my God, that is so awesome, Thomas. And I'm telling you right now, Mark is, when Carrie tells him, is probably going to go running for that Moonraker DVD to see if the braces are back, because that will spark joy if we are in that world. So thank you for your story. Bo, you up for the next one? You good? Or
sure, I'm good. Hey. All right, Eerie Travelers. So I'm going to share something with you guys. So I work at a freestanding ER here in Florida. We only have about like 3 patients and none of them are a little girl. That's ominous. That's the main point. Me and a nurse were just sitting there and I am not a nurse. I do a different department, but I am up at the nurse station because I went to go find something to show her on my phone. As I'm looking for it, we hear a giggle of like a little child and I'm like, what the heck is that? I look up and I don't see that we have like a little girl and I look at her and I was like, did you hear that? And she said, yes, I heard it. Now I've been working here for the last 5 years, going on 6 years, and there has never been a death of a little girl that I know up here. But what was crazy is that she heard it too. Now I've seen a shadow here like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, wasn't scared because we had a couple of coworkers that had passed away and they were both young. So it was like a tragic loss. Nothing severely just happened to them tragically, but losing someone unexpectedly is a tragic way to go in my eyes. And I believe that what I saw was one of the guys I had passed away, but I figured I would just share because I just thought it was so cool, but creepy at the same time. And that is from Kristen.
Kristen. Thank you. I agree. That is officially creepy, and I noped out of your entire workplace partway through that story. So I didn't
Erica has ascended out of the ceiling. She is gone.
I was gone. You said sat down, heard a giggle. I was out. I was like, nope, I'm gone. Gone. I'm good. Nope. I'm.
But I feel like we went off of the giggle and then we were on shadows and I wanted to know more about the giggle. Did it keep happening? Was it one time?
I'm assuming it must have just been the one time. Man, though, being an ER, like, respect that work for sure, but there's got to have been a lot of just energy going on in places like that, even if people aren't passing away, just because there's a lot of trauma going on regardless.
Yeah, I agree with you. So many mad props to you for the job and the job your coworkers are doing. But Kristen, we're going to need you to write us back and tell us whether it's a one-time thing or if it's continued. And I think what she was trying to say, she saw a shadow figure, thought it was the coworkers that had tragically passed. Very sorry for your loss. But now she thinks maybe it was whatever this giggling little girl. I don't like the giggling little children that are not alive. I love them when they're alive. It's one of my favorite sounds. My granddaughter was just here. Love that laugh. If I heard that laugh right now while she's not in my house, I would have to burn it to the ground. Yep, you're welcome. Thank you.
So Erica would run down the mountain.
I would.
Without shoes on. She would just go.
I would. You know me.
Erica would end up at Bo's house because she ain't coming here.
That's true. No, absolutely not, Carrie. Not, no, no.
No, I don't think there's any ghosts in my house, so you can totally come.
Okay, well, I'll come crash there at your house because that sounds a lot safer. But Kristen, we hope that whatever this is a friendly entity and keep us updated, please.
Yeah.
Okay. This even starts with okay. Here we go. Okay, so I don't normally share any of my experiences, but tonight has been a bit odd. A light came on by itself, happens once in a while, then goes back off shortly after. No, see, I'm already out. I'm already done with this place, wherever this is. I go into the dining room and turn on the light and go to the stairs and just watch and listen for a few. Then I go back to turn off the light in the dining room and come back to my room in the addition that's attached to the building. When I turn off the light, I look to my right towards the parlor and there's someone standing there.
Ooh.
Oh my God. Chills through my whole entire body. That is not what he said. That is what Erica is saying. Okay. I can see a full on solid shadow standing there. It was gone within seconds. Mike. Well, Mike, it appears to me you must move and burn your house down. There's a lot of that tonight.
I mean, Erica, this sounds a lot like something that was happening in your house recently. So when are you going to see a shadow figure in your house?
I didn't. It left with that person who was here. And I had a witch confirm for me that it's attached to the person and not my house.
We are thank goodness.
Here, and you are welcome. Yeah, because whatever that was needed to...
That person can't come back to your house because who knows?
Not until they're cleansed. Nope. Not until they're cleansed. I already had that conversation. Not coming anywhere near my house until whatever that is that was attached to you is gone. But Mike, it sounds like, though scary, not necessarily bad, and maybe because this has appeared to have happened in your house before, it normally hides better and was there for a moment going, oh shit, he's looking at me. Like, that could have happened.
Excuse me.
Bro, you know, like the little kid thing where they freeze when they're doing something wrong with the hope you won't see them. That's my thought. Carrie?
Yeah, I feel like maybe that was a, kind of moment. Like, I don't know. Spirits seem to always come across as creepy, but that's not necessarily the intent, or just maybe it's just energy residue too. So it doesn't necessarily have any intent.
I think they're probably as surprised when we perceive them as vice versa. Like, nobody is expecting to see the other. And when we do, we're like, ah.
No, you saw that in the TV show Ghosts, which is one of my favorite US version, not the UK version. I like the US version better. I'll fight with Mark to the death over that.
Is really good, though.
Anyway. It's bad. I'm just saying I like the US version better. But my point is, they always look surprised when somebody can see them. Mm-hmm. And they think sage smells funny. So, Mike, I would say, though, if it's something you don't want, just ask it to leave. Because, you know, you're kind of lord of that castle. So, yeah, no, that's what I would do.
It's on, the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. Buy two select laundry appliances and get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop all things Maytag, including the new stackable Pet Pro laundry system that removes pet hair from clothes. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The sweltering heat of the Florida sun breaks as a chill runs down your spine. A dark shadow looms from a nearby tourist trap. You didn't expect to find this kind of shade in Florida. If only there was some sort of travel guide to steer you through the spookier locales. Well, you're in luck, reader. Join author Mark Muncy and Carrie Schultz as they lead you through the darkest locations in the Sunshine State in creepy Florida. Available from History Press and at fine bookstores everywhere.
Okay, Carrie, you're up next, I think.
Alrighty. My 7-year-old daughter and I were driving yesterday. Me driving, her riding. Glad that's important that's clarification. And suddenly she started yelling and pointing at something. There was an airplane just hanging out midair, not moving at all. She told me I needed to report this to someone, and I told her no one would believe me, but she said they would because both of us saw it and not just one person. Guess I'm reporting it to you guys. Well, thanks. I really wish I would have pulled over and made a video. Next time something happens, I will, no matter how late I am. It was a big plane, like a passenger plane, and it wasn't even high up in the air. One of the weirdest things I've ever seen, but not the weirdest. Okay, I sense maybe another listener tale in the future.
I was going to say, it sounds like this person owes us another listener tale.
I told her I thought it was probably a glitch in the Matrix, and then I had to explain the Matrix. I can't even imagine explaining the Matrix in like a succinct way to a 7-year-old, but
yeah.
And this is from Connie. Thank you, Connie.
Well, thank you, Connie. I was going to say, Mark seems to have put a note on this listener tale when he posted it on the document. He says parallax effect.
Which... So I guess this is a actual like...
Yeah, it's moving at such a speed that it looks like it's like not moving at all.
It's like an optical illusion.
It's like birds and stuff too. So when people are like, oh shit, that bird is frozen in the sky. It's not. It's just moving at a rate of speed that makes it look like it's frozen. But it's
or you had something super weird happen and we will report it to MUFON, right? Is it MUFON?
I'm glad that they reported it though.
We will make sure, even though Mark says science, we will make sure it gets reported to MUFON just in case science was wrong and a bunch of other people saw something weird.
Wasn't Parallax a Green Lantern villain?
Probably. It sounds like a good villain name.
It sounds like a great, great villain. I love that. He's now a villain. We have made him one in whatever parallel universe that we're now in where the braces are back.
He moves so fast, he doesn't seem to be moving at all.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, craziness. Okay, Bo, are you good for another one, do you think?
We'll see. This starts with work this one out, please. So I think we're gonna have to do some solving.
I hope there's no math involved because we all know how bad.
God, I hope not. Yeah, I hope not. My 8-year-old son and I were in our home this morning chatting. I was sitting down, he was standing next to me. Suddenly, and only for a split second, everything went black and silent and then back on again. I looked at him shocked. He looked at me and said, did you see that then? Whoa, a glitch in the Matrix, like Eerie Travels says.
Your son.
Imagine a light bulb going off and it's pitch blackness, then coming back on. It was like that, but it was the middle of the day and we didn't have or need any lights on. We both experienced it at exactly the same time. I've not mentioned it to him since because I don't want to freak him out, but I've not stopped thinking about it. It was like there was nothing at all, but like I said, it lasted like half a second. Please explain this one to me. My son said, you got to tell Eerie Travels from Anonymous. Yes.
Good advice. Well,
Anonymous, first of all, we love that your son is a huge fan of Eerie Travels and you are in the right group of people. So
out to him. Yes.
Yeah, shout out.
I'll try to curse less since there's an 8-year-old listening.
Oh, please. If they listen to me, we're golden. Jeez. We always warn people too that, and I say that, I am not suitable for children under the age of 18, but they do enjoy hanging out with me. Okay. But what I would say, my vote is a glitch in the matrix. Where are you going, Carrie?
That would freak me out. I don't even know.
She's still thinking about how scary that would be. So my thing, didn't we have a someone on the podcast recently? I wish I could remember who it was. I think it was one of the Cryptids of the Corn guys.
I was almost thinking I couldn't remember his story exactly when he thought
and said he was like driving in during the day, and then like a bright white light happened.
I guess this
and
is
he the pulled opposite. Over.
Yeah.
And everyone saw it, and I guess it was like a transformer explosion or something.
Yeah,
like that
was Justin from Cryptids of the Corn said that.
Yeah.
I think the problem with this is that there weren't any lights on, just literally blackness and then re-blackness. And I'm going to go with rebooting the Matrix because
someone's like, oh shit, let's turn it off and on again. Something's wrong.
Yes, let's try.
Someone thought Paul Rubens died. Let's fix it.
See, if you could have, that would have been nice before James Earl Jones passed away. But I think that, yeah, that's what I would guess because to have some, I know exactly what they're talking about. I mean, we've all been in dark rooms in our house, but for a degree, there's light. We can still see each other no matter how dark it is.
Yeah. Like, even if there's like a crazy like summer storm or something and the house goes dark, it's not pitch black dark.
Yeah. So I'm going to, we'll have to ask Mark, but we're going to have to figure out where to report this. Just dropped something off the desk. Sorry about that. And so we'll have to figure out where to report this. But secondarily, yeah, that is a little bit freaky. And you'll just have to let us know if it happens again, because then there might be something else we need to look into, because it's either something environmentally happening or something physically to both. But to have it happen to both of you, see, that's where my weirdness goes in. Like, you know, momentary blindness.
Yeah, it either has to be something weird or environmental because it's affected both of them and they both experienced it.
Yeah. So shout out to your son, whoever you are. I hope you're listening right now. No, your dad reported it to us, but we think you guys are safe because it obviously was just a reboot. And sometimes you get the blue screen of death on computers and have to reboot them. That's what happens. That's what I'm talking up to. Who just went? Was that you, Bo?
That was me.
Okay, I'm going to go then. Here we go. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Hey.
I've been listening for a while now, and I love your show. Well, thank you. We met at Scarefest last year and I've been hooked since. Oh, yay. We're going to be at Scarefest this year. Here's my first of many stories. Ooh. I live in Central Kentucky and I was a teenager and in a heavy metal band. First of all, I love everything you just said there. We liked taking pictures of ourselves in the cemetery and did it a lot.
Hell yeah. Of course.
None of us thought about ghosts, but we remained respectful and paid our respects to any grave we took photos around.
That's how you should do it. Be respectful.
Yep. Yep. Let them know, because otherwise you get some of them attachments if you're not careful. Okay. We found the mausoleum for just one family. We talked about photos around it and agreed to take a few pictures in front of it. I immediately got a weird feeling about it. When our friends looked at the camera, he went pale. There's some sort of blue energy coming from the mausoleum and formed a ball right over my left shoulder. I immediately knew what it was. I took it as the family either wanting to be in the picture or waved them to telling us not to take pictures there. My friends wanted to try and recreate it, but I refused out of respect. Anyway, that's the first of many to come. Hope to see you at Scarefest, Alexander. Well, Alexander, one, got the goosebumps back. Two, we can't wait to see you at Scarefest. That's priority. Scarefest. And three, I'm going to go with they didn't want you there because of your feeling. That's how I always do it. If you get a bad feeling about anything, stop. Because whether it's your internal lizard brain or your whatever, it's something telling you that what you're doing is a terrible idea. So that is my thoughts. But well done on paying respects. Carrie, thoughts?
I love taking pictures in cemeteries. They're really cool. As Mark will say, I'm usually the one off to the side taking pictures of butterflies when everyone else has like the spooky experience. I don't know. Like, I know so many cemeteries are haunted, but I'm like, why do ghosts want to hang out in cemeteries so much? That's not where they died. I know a lot of them are buried there, but I mean,
carry your lodestone for the most part. You know, I feel like you're not the right person. I should have asked that question. I regret it now. I'm going to take it back and ask it to Bo.
I mean, I love a cemetery, and I was that goth kid who was taking photos in cemeteries. But if you have a bad vibe, I think it's always important to listen to it. Mm-hmm. In any situation, like not just a cemetery situation, but in all aspects of your life. So yeah, I think it was a good idea not to continue taking pictures right there. And I'm glad you kind of moved on.
Agreed. Agreed. So thank you, Alexander. And we'll see you at Scarefest. Can't wait. I think it's most of the crew. Anyway, we'll see. Carrie, you want to do the next one?
Yes, definitely. So this morning, my husband told me that he woke up last night from something touching his lower abdomen. This
nope.
You
nope.
gave it to me, isn't it?
Oh, no.
he said he thought it was me, so he didn't freak out right away. Yeah. It was leaning over me and touching him. When he looked into its face, it stood up. Wow. The face
nope.
of it was like...
Nope.
Why is it being so intimate?
Yes. Nope. Too Ooh. Freaky. Nope. Okay. Keep going. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to try.
The face of it was like shimmering. Then it turned and slipped through a small crack in our door. He said it looked 2D or something. The shape itself was all black and the outline was moving. What on earth could this be? I sometimes see things when I go back into our baby's room in the middle of the night too. I'm hoping it's not something bad. This kind of reminds me of what I would see when I had sleep paralysis, but he did not say he was paralyzed. So I have no idea if this thing is bad or real. From Gina.
Gina.
I feel like we had a story just like this at one point, and it had this shimmering face.
Yeah, I remember the shimmering from someone else too.
So let me just, I can refresh you guys on that. That did not end well. That thing was not a nice thing. So Gina, I would, one, just do a little protectionist around your house. Go to the metaphysical shop. There are crystals for protection. Put one in your baby's room. Whatever this is, that is way too intimate. That is way too touchy-feely. No. You do not get to touch my abdomen without permission. No. There's consent, ghosty poos. Consent.
And not even her abdomen, her husband's abdomen, while leaning over her.
Yeah, super. Oh my God, so many. Okay, since again,
crossing boundaries. They didn't say they were into that.
Yes, there is a lot of people who see spirits that say that have seen different kinds of spirits that say the not recognizable face, the shimmery face, where you can't really discern features. But this has also been linked to a couple other things. So, Gina, go to your metaphysical shop. That's what I would do. If you would like us to, we can contact a couple people that you can reach out to, such as Serenity Jenny and things like that, who might be able to discern exactly what this is. But nope. This gets a big N-O-P-E exclamation point from Erica. Other thoughts, Carrie, that you have on this, other than not wanting one of those in your house?
Yeah, I think I would pass on wanting to see that. I mean, it sounds kind of curious, but it's so hard to know what the intent of the thing is. I would think, I guess, especially with having a baby, you'd rather ask it to leave and leave you alone rather than take any risks associated. But at the same time, you don't want to agitate it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, I don't know if you shared this comment, but Gordon just said, 2D is like a hide behind in Gravity Falls.
Yes.
Do not love that at all. Oh, I don't like the hide behind idea either. So I want to move on to the story because I don't like any of this. Bo, take it away.
Okay. I saw my first Bigfoot 2 years ago while bass fishing. I looked up and it was walking through the pine trees. It was about 6 feet tall and brown in color.
Eight feet.
See,
that's an important distinction.
Yes, 8 feet makes much more sense. Yes. Tall, not normal sized, and brown in color. I don't think it saw me, but I just said, wow. When I thought about filming it, it was gone. Later that year at the county fair, the FWC, the Florida Wildlife, had a tent, and I went in and showed the officers some pictures of footprints that I had taken and where it was. The area was opened up to the public. I went out to bass fish. I went out to bass fish 2 days later, and they had opened up the locks and flooded the area. Believe me, Bigfoot is real. It's really suspicious that they flooded it after
Edward,
he said that.
Yeah, thank you.
I was so distracted by what had happened. I forgot to say your name, Edward.
Hey, this is, we had another Florida story earlier. So yay, Florida people.
But I agree with you. And so that is not the first time we have heard from people who interact with Bigfoot that if you tell the Parks Department and you report it, suddenly they have a burn fire in the area, or they flood the area, or it's suddenly locked off and people aren't allowed there. So yes, I agree with you. Bigfoot is real. I appreciate that you went to them because I could see why that makes sense to you. But I would,
maybe the BRFRO next time instead of
I was going to say or Bigfoot or Skunk Ape headquarters or Bigfoot, BRFO, BFRO.
BFRO.
Jordan Nonabas is on here right now and she's hearing me and I'm feeling not great about how I just said that. But yes, so I would report it there. But Edward, we agree with you completely. It is real.
I sympathize with the just being like, wow, when you see it. Like, nothing, no getting your phone, no nothing. I would totally.
I mean, that's what we keep hearing, right? People being they don't even think about it because they're like, so like, wow. Or like, it's just sapped from their mind.
My whole thing is, I don't know, even, you know, if I was encountering, I don't keep my phone out with me all the time. I can understand if you had a GoPro on or some other method that you were recording things, being able to catch things more easily. But if you're not going out intending to do that, grabbing your phone and pulling it out, that even just doing that takes a few seconds and getting the camera app up. Like if you really think about how long it takes you to take a picture of something, most things can happen without, you know, taking a picture, getting a picture taken of stuff.
This happens to me with deer all the time. I'll like walk out to the driveway just to do something and the deer will be right there. I'll be like, oh, sorry, hi. And like, they're gone. There is no getting the phone out.
Yeah.
I like how you apologize
to them all sitting there and you're like, oh, when I come back, there'll at least be one or two. And it doesn't even look like you were ever there. And things do not just wait to have pictures taken of them.
Mm-mm. Much like toddlers, they don't keep doing the cute thing when you pull out the camera. They stop.
That's true. They start screaming and throwing things. Okay, not really. I love toddlers. Okay, here
we go. They do. That's exactly what they do.
Yes, it's true. Okay, greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
I just wanted to share. I feel like this is going to go somewhere bad by saying that, so I'm preparing myself. Okay, where me and my husband live is haunted. Yep, went bad. Okay. We live in a huge apartment building and we live on the second floor. At night, you can hear footsteps and then you also hear like someone is running up and down the hallways. Sometimes it goes on all night long. Well, one night the running sounds kept on and on. So I walked outside our front door to see who kept running up and down the hallways and there was no one in sight, but I could still hear the running sounds and heard little kids' voices, but didn't see any kids at all. I don't like that at all. No.
They have emojis after this. You have to do the emojis, Erica.
like this and this and then. I hope everybody enjoyed that recreation.
That's of the emoji. How I looked when you were reading it.
Like this?
Yes.
Yeah. No, this is how I'm looking, even thinking about it. I do not like that, Jade, and I am sorry for you, but I think you should do a little bit of investigation on your apartment complex, or you could send us your address. I promise I'm not coming there, because under no circumstances would I go there.
Erica wouldn't be caught dead there. She would never.
Maybe if I was dead. You don't know. You don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to cosplay as a ghost like nobody's business until I'm reincarnated.
You're going to just go through all the listener tales and go to those locations. Just
I'm going to go visit people and just see if they can send in stories Eerie Travels of. No, I was going to say, I would love your address so we can do a little clickety-clack research to see if something happened near there to maybe help like with what that is. But hey, at least they're playing. It's just maybe tell them they need to play during the daytime, because maybe they don't realize what time it is. That's my
like people are sleeping. You got to tone it down.
Yes, you do.
Play ball like during the day.
Like most children, you have to go, it's not nighttime now.
Let's go. Have a second floor theme, because it's not like they're running above them, because they're on the second floor. So
yeah, it sounds like they're running on the hallway. That's why I'm saying like it's creepy crazy. Okay. Carrie.
All radio. I've been following the UAP developments for 4 or 5 years now. Only ever come across a couple of fellow travelers in that time. Don't get to talk to anyone about it much. When my dad passed away a few weeks ago, I'm sorry to hear that. I came into possession of most of his stuff, and imagine my surprise when I found these 5 books in amongst his unopened Deadliest Catch box sets. When I mentioned it to my mom, she said that he was sure he'd encounter a UFO in Wales in the late 60s. Wow. Mm-hmm. He had never mentioned anything about it, and I had never seen these books in his shelves. Yes, all this time I sat with him as he faded away, trying to think of things to talk about. We could have been talking about Grush. I'm sorry, I can't even.
Grush, I think that's right.
And Elizondo, Favor and Graves. The stigmatism of the topic worked well on his generation. He hid it from everyone for 60 years from Phil. Okay, oh. Wow, whale sightings. This is really interesting.
Well, Phil, much of our positive vibes, we're sorry for the loss of your dad. Oh, Mark put another note on this one. A wave of sightings in Wales in 1977 dubbed the area the Dyfed Triangle, cigar-shaped craft with some domes. And then Mark, of course, said he wants us to research that, which makes me laugh. So that means, Bo, you have to research it.
I was going to say, I guess I'll write it down. Thanks, Mark.
I can clack that. And but it's true about the stigma of talking about any of these things, because, you know, how many listener stories have we had so far where people say that they think, well, hi, Rick. I see you say I like made it. I love what you've done with your high hair. Carrie is the artist formerly known as Mark. Yes, yeah. We're going to make it a symbol like Prince. But Phil, I was going to say, there is a lot of stigma, even today, about seeing things. Luckily, we have such a bigger community, and we talk about this a lot with other podcasters who've been on and stuff like that, like the Nana Boss who's on tonight. And, you know, we were on with Sirens of the Supernatural, who we're going to have on, and Cryptids of the Corn. There's so many of us out there into the fray with Shannon. And stuff like we want you to get your word out, but it is, I think, harder for people because they don't want to be labeled as crazy. And there was much more rumor mill than there is different nowadays when neighborhoods and stuff, your dad didn't want to be that guy who talked about seeing UFOs. You know, that's a stigma. And it's terrible, but it's a stigma. So we're sorry for your loss. But Phil, thank you for sharing. And if you have any stories you'd like to share, we are here. But well done on finding those books. I love those books.
I'm glad that was something at least you could experience, even if he wasn't able to share it with you.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It's a little fun thing to find. Bo, you want to do the next one? Are you good? Or
I'm good. I'm ready.
All right.
This morning, as I was waking up, I heard over the radio a pilot and some co-pilot saw something in the sky near Fort Edward. That made no sense. As they were getting closer to it, they asked the person on the ground, were there any planes nearby due to nothing on radar? As the pilot was talking to the navigator on the ground, the navigator said there is not and asked if they wanted to report the sighting. The pilot said no, but the co-pilot agreed to talk. As they landed, they were met with someone, a guy in a black suit that looked like an older Asian man. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. Why is Mark not here for this? The person asked if they wanted to talk about the sighting they saw. The pilot didn't due to the fear of losing his job, so he said no. The co-pilot said he would, and what was said, the co-pilot's grounded from flying. Mm-hmm. This is all what was really said on the radio. This happened on August 1st, 2024. Again, this was on the radio. The pilot wanted to not be named from losing his job. I remember that Congress passed a law a few years back that any pilot can report these sightings while they're in the air. But I guess it is still a hush-hush. Nothing can be said out loud about it. I wonder if it was X by Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
For the record, I doubt it was X because X is not a Men in Black. He has made that very, very clear.
He has said many times he is not, which makes me think that he is, but
I
don't think this is him.
I'm not. I'm in the he's not. However, yeah, there is still a lot of stigma around people talking. We are not of a point yet where we're willing to really say it. And I think if they report it and it's not heard by anybody except for the reporting agency or their whatever, you know what I mean? It's fine. If it was broadcast, it's a different story. And now I can see why the co-pilot was grounded. You know,
and I mean, people are pushed not to disclose because they've set it up in such a way that disclosure makes you look crazy. And the government and other people, Men in Black, make it that way on purpose. But I know what Mark wanted me to point out on this. The man in the black suit who looked Asian, because Mark and I saw a similar looking gentleman in Indianapolis. And I think it was referenced in a couple other listener tales of people seeing that same man and referencing Mark in the same scenario. So I think it might be our guy.
It might be, or there's 9 of them. We don't know what they all look like. So
that's true. They could all look the same too. We don't know
that. And that would make sense. Very
not like Mr. Smith from The Matrix.
Exactly. Exactly. Carrie, I'm going to have you go next.
All righty. Ooh, all right. This one is a little sad, but I'm calm enough at the moment to tell the story. My head and face hurt so much from crying, but it's also a part of life, sadly. I'm so sorry. It's hard when you're just so heavy with that feeling. So this morning, I unfortunately had to send one of my cats over the Rainbow Bridge. I did all I could and then some, and I still feel terrible about it. I really empathize with that. I have had to do the same thing with the cat I owned a long time ago, and she was like, my best friend. Feel you there. All right. Last night, for the last couple weeks, I've made it a point to spend time specifically with him, bring him with me onto the couch, and give him lots of love. Mind you, there was quite a windy storm last night, but here's something that was very unusual. I was on a phone call with a good friend of mine, telling him what was going on, and that I was bringing Sunshine to the vet in the morning, and that he might have to be put to sleep. While I was on the phone with him, I heard 3 very distinct knocks on my front door. It wasn't the wind moving something or moving my windows or the screen door. They were very distinct knocks. I said out loud, if you're a person, ring the doorbell because I'm also missing 2 cats, and figured maybe someone had come across them and was coming to my door to let me know. I know that people can hear me through my window, and that's behind my couch when I speak to them, because I always ask who it is if they don't announce themselves for lots of reasons. That's very reasonable. The doorbell didn't ring, and shortly after I got off the phone with my friend, I was cuddling Mr. Sunshine, letting him lay on me, and there was a very loud knock happening at my house, not even 10 feet away from me. Nothing fell, nothing moved. I think it was someone coming to let me know that it was Sunshine's time. I would have much preferred to had it been the spirit of my previous dog or something who was alive when Sunshine was quite little. I think last night I was visited by someone telling me that it was time. I kind of told them to back off. No evil was allowed here, but of course I still had to lay Sunshine to rest in this morning. I think some messenger of some kind visited me last night. I have no hard evidence, but that's what I feel like is what happened. It was very strange, but I had a feeling that's what had happened. This is from Jake.
Oh, Jake, we are so sorry that you lost Sunshine. I'm going to say I recently had to put down Carrie and Beau both got to meet him. My cat, Henry, who was, I think, 16 yeah. or 17 when we had to put him down. It was just fine. We'd done everything we could for him as well.
Henry is so sweet.
It does sound like you had a little person coming to let you know it was time for them. So they can't always be great at the messaging.
They're like, hello, we need to get Sunshine tomorrow. We're just letting you know.
Yes. You know,
we're going to knock in the scariest way possible.
It might have been like a New Yorker of ghosts. Like, hello, hello, is this thing on? Hello, open the door. We're coming to get him. You know. But I am quite sure Sunshine is playing around happily with somebody. Maybe he's playing with Henry. Henry's a pretty sociable guy. So going to throw that out there. Okay, the next one's a long one. So I think it'll be our last one for tonight. So here we go. So I shared my story for the first time on a Sasquatch page and was invited to share it with you all. Enjoy.
Yay.
Hey, everyone. Well, hello. Hi. So I joined a Bigfoot group because I finally ready after 20 years to talk about my Bigfoot experience. I had only told a couple of people because I didn't want people thinking I'm crazy, and I only had my word, no pics or videos. This was before we had super nice phones. I had a Nokia brick phone with no camera.
Yeah.
I remember those. Okay. In this experience, I had my roommate, his girlfriend, and another friend of ours. I reached out to them and they would like to stay anonymous. I'm going to use different names for them while telling the story, which is totally okay. In August 2005, Josh, my roommate, Jennifer, his girlfriend, and Tom, a friend of ours, decided to go on a river float on Blackwater River in Milton, Florida.
Yay, Florida story.
I've never heard of Blackwater River. That sounds terrible. But it's fine. Okay.
I was going to say, that sounds ominous.
Yeah, well, it's a Bigfoot story, so skunk ape story. But anyway, okay, here we go. Before this experience, we floated this river over a dozen times and had no negative experiences. Well, that's good. This time we decided to do a two-day river float. So we parked a car way past the normal location of entry and went up the river several miles where no one lived. Blackwater River is located in the Panhandle near Pensacola and is a very unique experience.
Thank you for telling us where.
Yes, because I was like, click and collect that because I have no idea where that is. Okay. Blackwater River is a beautiful white beaches and brown, clear water. Brown, clear water?
Maybe brown bottomed.
Maybe brown. Okay. Because I was like, brown water does not. I've seen The Simpsons. That sounds terrible. Okay. No. Our intent was to float down until sun started setting and make camp on one of the beaches on the river. We loaded up a canoe with our gear and jumped in our inner tubes and started floating. About an hour into our float, we started to hear what we can only describe as a man-bear-like yell, but it was very far off. We made a couple of jokes about it, but paid no attention to it. In the area, there are several animals like boar, bobcats, bears that frequent the area, so not a big deal to us. After about 6 or 7 hours of floating, we were ready to make camp and drink some beers. At this point, I was growing more concerned about the screaming noise because of the fact it would stop screaming for like 30 minutes from time to time, seemed to get closer while we floated. Yeah, no, that sounds terrible. I'm not even done with this story, and this sounds terrible already. Okay. We found a big beach where it looked as if someone else had camped there at one time, and there was an old campfire and some old beer cans in the sand. After setting up our tents, we went to the woods to find some firewood, and noticed 4 trees in close proximity to each other had skinny trees stacked up in them laying sideways, making a wall that was blocking the path going into the woods. That's not good. Can we see Blair Witch? Because that's what I'm thinking right now. Okay. At first, I thought it was someone's property and they don't want people camping to come up onto the property. But upon further investigation, I noticed the trees weren't stacked, wasn't cut on both sides. They were twisted like you would do if you're trying to take a small branch off a tree. That freaked me out because of the sheer power you would need to twist a tree like that. So I stayed on the outskirts of the woods. See, everything you're telling me so far in this story has me getting back and floaty floating right back down the river, but I'm going to continue on, okay? Yeah, Gorton just said a Florida man won't be denied. That is so true. Anyway, okay. About 9:30 at night, the screaming was pretty close, but still far enough off that we were a little concerned, but not enough to make a big deal out of it. I chose only to have two beers because if something did happen, I didn't want to be drunk in a situation like that. That's smart, at least. Around 10 p.m. is when we started to head to our tents. Tom drank enough for everyone, so he went to his tent and was out within minutes. But Josh and Jennifer and I stayed up for about a half an hour putting everything up so our food wouldn't attract unwanted animals. This was when all hell broke loose. I was in my tent, and Josh and Jennifer were in a big six-person tent. I laid in my tent for about 20 minutes before I decided to get a bottle of water from the cooler, which was close to the fire pit, about 40 feet away from our tents. The campfire was about 10 feet from some large 6 to 7 foot tall grass and shrubs. As I stepped out of my tent and asked Josh and Jennifer if they wanted a bottle of water, they both said yes. And as I walked to the cooler and grabbed the waters, I was greeted by the loudest scream I had ever heard from the bushes 7 feet away from where I was standing. Oh, I don't love this. First thing I noticed was that whatever was screaming, it was either sitting in a tree or at least 8 to 9 feet tall. I felt like my soul came out of my body. I was so scared and beelined it towards Josh's tent, jumping into their tent as all three of us were freaked the crap out. Whatever this was continued to let the craziest scream yell we had ever heard. At this point, we were all trying to make sense of what was happening to try to convince ourselves it was simply a bear and we had nothing to worry about so long as we stayed in our tent. Then it started to walk towards our tent and we felt every footstep. The crazy thing was we were sitting in the deep white sand. So to feel a step in the sand, you would have to be several hundred pounds. We realized we were experiencing something unusual and the temperature went from about 85 degrees to the point where we could see our breath in the tent. Oh, I know how crazy this sounds and this is the reason I kept it secret for so long. Okay. As we sat there helpless in a thin tent, we decided to lay flat against the ground, looking up, hoping this thing wouldn't take interest in us. At that time, it walked up to our tent and started hitting the tent and screaming at us. I started praying and making things right with God. At this point, I honestly thought this was it. Several minutes went by while it ripped bushes out of the ground, hit our tent, and pushed down the tent with the largest hand I'd ever seen in my life. One thing all three of us couldn't deny was that it was a human hand with 5 fingers, 4 to 5 times larger than a typical human hand. Eventually, it stopped messing with our tent and went to town on our cooler and equipment. At some time in the night, it walked across the river and we all heard the rest of the night with snapping wooden screams. I fell asleep at some point, waking up to the sun coming out and the nightmare was over. At least that's what we thought. Oh my goodness. Well, there's so much more of this. Okay. Freaked out. Okay. When I woke up and came out of the tent, our campsite was ransacked. Our cooler was ripped in half and everything was scattered everywhere. Upon further investigation, I noticed massive footprints in the area that smelled like dead animals. I followed the footprints out to the water. Then I remembered the thing went across the river. So I grabbed the canoe to check it out and was about to get in the canoe when Tom woke up and came out of his tent noticing the site ransacked and he asked me what happened. I was honestly blown away he didn't wake up for any of it and had no idea what happened. I told him what happened and he didn't believe me. He agreed to jump in the canoe with me and check the mink across the river. Why are we going across this river? Why would we do that?
At least it's daylight.
Am I alone in thinking that's a terrible idea? I'm mid-story here. We're not done, but okay, Bo's laughing her head off. Anyway, I'm moving on. Okay, so I don't know why you're going across the river, but I'm going to continue your story. This river is about 40 feet wide with 5 to 10, 15 foot depths, depending on where you're on the river, with clay embankments throughout. We noticed footprints in the sand on the bottom of the river, which was 8 feet deep. As we walked up the clay embankment, we noticed skinny trees were twisted about 6 foot up and made a path going to the left of our campsite. Again, we marveled at the sheer power of what it would take to twist a healthy tree like that. The damage seemed to stop a few yards to the left of where it looked like something had sat down for a bit. There was footprints and handprints and two very large butt prints in the soil. Gotta love a good butt print. We did just laugh, which we needed after that night. At this point, Josh woke up and came out of his tent and saw us cross the bank. Josh was done with this trip after the experience and asked if we could just get in the water and get out of there. We all agreed to start back towards the canoe. When we got in the canoe, Tom noticed more trees twisted to our left directly in front of the campsite. So instead of getting the canoe, we walked in the direction checking out the damage. All of a sudden, a large tree snapped and started to fall towards both of us. We did our best to dive out of the way, but both disappeared into the branches of the big pine tree as it landed on us. Luckily, we only got hit by a few little branches and were okay. But as we were trying to climb out of it, we felt a big thud on the ground and footsteps running off. Tom and I tried to climb to see what was running off, but didn't get in time to see it. When we looked over at Josh, he was pale white and started to freak the crap out, yelling, "We have to go," over and over. After that, he put his girlfriend in the canoe, and we finished the float in a fraction of the time, running from one beach to the other, jumping in the canoe until he was back at his vehicle. Several weeks later, he finally told me what he saw. He had took a drink of water and he looked up and there was a very large ape-like man sitting on the top of the huge pine tree. As they locked eyes, this thing stood up while staring into his soul and turned and jumped in the opposite direction, sending the tree at us. He described the large ape man with huge eyes, fur from head to toe, about 9 feet tall. He said that when he looked at him as if he knew him, which I don't know what that means. Anyway, that's our experience, and we've never been back since. Isaiah. Well, Isaiah, smart never to return. There are so many no.
There were so many Scooby-Doo moments. Like, everyone was going to check stuff out. Why?
I admit the forensic part of me is like, I want, oh, there's footprints. Let's piece together.
Let's go look at them.
On. Yeah.
That's absolutely the worst idea in the entire world to try to piece together what's going on. Like, I think that's horrible and we should never do that. And I'm done with that. So Isaiah, it was very smart of you not to go back. I will say this, if you are willing to give slightly more description of exactly where you were, I want to send that over to Connor Flynn and Stacey Brown and see if they want to go look into that particular area.
Because that's in their neck of the woods, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say, it's totally, and I know it's been a while, but it sounds to me like you were in, I don't want to say a housing area, but an area. Does that make sense? Like, where these things live? And they just were like trying to warn you this entire time, like, you're too close to us, you need to leave.
They said that they went up the trail past where people usually went in to float down. Maybe the skunk ape had their area and were like, oh, people don't come up here because they start here.
And well, these that's why
went up.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm saying the twisted trees and stuff, we've heard of that to make their structures where they live. So it sounds like the entire time, whatever this thing was going, hey, you guys should leave. You should leave. You're too close. You're too close. And we, like normal humans, did not respond well to that. Therefore, we weren't listening. So in the future, if you hear something like that, just go. You're in something's neighborhood, neck of the woods. Yeah. And I do agree. I mean, boars, things like that. But after some of these experiences, it's time to go home. But if you'll give us a better location, I'd love to pass that on to our skunk ape friends so that they can go investigate to see if maybe that's still the home of some of these creatures and they can have trees thrown at them. Because there's nothing I like more than the thought of Stacey Brown getting a tree thrown at him. So
I mean, he looks nimble. I think he could leap out of the way. He'll be okay.
He probably could. But anyway, so Carrie, thank you so much for being a part of this Listener Tales episode with us.
Thank you for humoring me being here and getting better at reading because I'm not the best, but
you were perfect. You did great. Always, always. Bo's forgetting people's entire names. It's fine.
It's okay.
We're not perfect. With all that said, travelers, thank you so much for joining us for another live episode of Eerie Travels. We really appreciate it from the Charlie's Angels. of Eerie Travels. That was my really bad impression of that song.
It was great.
Yes.
Okay.
So with that said, travelers, thanks for our sponsors. Thank you all. We hope to see you in an upcoming event. You can check us out at erietravels.com and you can see all the events we're going to be at and come visit with us. We would appreciate that. And because Mark's not here, I'm going to leave you with this. If something comes knocking or screaming at you, going bump in the night or feeling your abdomen, do what Erica would do and burn the entire place down. And with that, travelers, we will see you on the other side.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.